Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Chaf Bet. Today's daf has been sponsored in honor of Jack and Lillian Seton, dedicated by their son Victor. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Yosef ben Miriam. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, and Le'ilu Nishmat Hadas bat Yehudit. Ruach Hashem Tanichen Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Sheni. It is 1, 2, 3 lines before the wide lines. And the Gemara's question is, Mai Hanukkah? What is the question, Mai Hanukkah? So Rashi says, Al Eze Nes Kav'uha. What was the miracle that the Hakamim, the reason why the Hakamim established the holiday? There was different miracles. There was the miracle of the oil, and there was the miracle of the Milchama, of the war that the Hashmonaim won against the Yevanim. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the primary miracle why they celebrated and made a holiday? So the Gemara says, Detanu Rabbanan. Because we have a Braita. This Braita is actually a quote from Megillat Ta'anit. Bechislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yomed Hanukkah. It is the days of Hanukkah, Temanya in Nun. 8 days. Dela lemispat behon. So we're not allowed to eulogize on those days. Udla lehitanot behon. Nor are we allowed to fast on those days. Why? Shekishenichnesu yevanim laechal. When the Syrian Greeks went into the Hechal of the Beit HaMikdash, Teme'u kol ha-shemanim sheba Hechal. So they defiled, they contaminated all the oils that were in the Hechal. Ukshegabra malchut bet Hashmonai. When the kingdom of the Hashmonaim overpowered them, v'nitzchum, and triumphed, Batku, they went and inspected into the Beit HaMikdash, ve'lo matzu, and they did not find, ela pach echad shel shemen. They found only one small jug of oil, Shaya Munach Bechotamo Shel Kohen Gadol, that had on it the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Thereby they knew that this Pak Shemen was Tahor. Ve'lo haya bo el adlik yom echad. But all there was in the Pak was enough oil to last, to light the menorah for one night. Na'asa bo nes, a miracle happened, ve'dliku mimenu shemona yamim. And miraculously the oil lasted for 8 days, the Shana Acheret, so the following year, Kavum, they established those days, Va'asa'um, Yamim, Tovim, holiday, Behalel, Ubodaa. Not a holiday of abstention from work, but a holiday to recite full Halel, and also Al-Nisim, in the Hoda'a, meaning in the Berachav Nodelecha, in the Birkat Amazon. Now, regarding this Gemara over here. First, the bottom Tosafot says that it was Munach Mechotamo Shel Kohen Gadol. It had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. Tosafot says, Im Kevar Gazru Al Nochrim Liyot Kezavim. If already this story happened at the time that the rabbis made the enactment that a goy is considered like a zav, meaning they gave the goy tum'at zav, that he's considered tameh, tzarik lomar sheyam munach bechotam bekarka. You have to say that it was not only sealed, but it was actually buried in the ground, shelo esitu akeli, that they would have known that the goy didn't move the keli. Because a zav, if he moves a keli, it becomes tameh. So therefore, it's not enough that they found a keli that was munach with a chotam. Maybe the goy touched. Maybe they touched it, and the rabbis made a gezeran goyin that tetemeim. So Tosfot has to say, if that's the case, you have to say it wasn't only sealed, but it was in the ground, so they knew that nobody came into contact with it. Regarding the reason why they needed 8 days, I mean, where was the oil? Okay, so they didn't find oil, so I'm gonna make oil the next day. So why did they need an 8 day miracle? That An points out that the closest place for them to process the oil was 4 days away. So it took 4 days to get there, 4 days to come back. So the earliest time that they were able to process Tahor oil was 8 days, hence the miracle being 8 days. There's a famous question of the Bet Yosef that is well known. Why is the holiday 8 days? The holiday should really be 7 days, because it was not an 8 day miracle. They had enough, it says, for the first night. So I'll just offer you there's many answers. The Bet Yosef himself gives three. There's a book called Ned Lemeah that offers 100 answers to this question. I'll just offer an answer that the Shabbat Shalmi renders. The Shabbat Shalmi writes that there is a text in one of the Midrashim or the She'iltot that write that when they found the oil, there was not enough oil even to last for one night. Which means our text says they had enough for one night. But if you have the text that says they didn't have enough even for one night, so that already makes sense. There was a miracle the first night. The only question is then, why would they make pach shemens that didn't have enough oil even to last one night for the menorah? What's the purpose of making such a pach? So the Shabbat Shemi says, beautiful. He says, secondly, what is the chotam of the Kohen Gadol doing on this pach? You know, was the Kohen Gadol the mashgiach over the purity of the oil? They must have had a special system of making the oil pure. Why is the Kohen Gadol have to put a seal on it? So he says the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis had to bring a personal mincha. That mincha was called minhat habitin shel Kohen Gadol. It was a flour offering. But with the flour offering, he also had to bring 3 lugin of oil. So he says that pach that was found was not a pach that was prepared for the menorah. That was a personal pach that a Kohen Gadol probably brought from his own stock of pure oil in order to bring his personal minhat habitin betahara. And he wanted to bring, you know, the best oil that he had. So he would seal it to indicate that it was his and it's for his minhat habitin. As I said, the amount of oil for the mincha is 3 lugin. However, the amount for the menorah is 3.5 lug. Because there's 7 sticks in the menorah, 7 lamps. Each lamp takes 0.5 lug. So therefore, they found a pach that had 3 lugin in it, and they filled it up into a menorah that needs really 3.5. So they didn't have enough even for one night. So according to that, the miracle was even on the first night. That's a novel interpretation of what the pach was. Most people understood the pach was for the oil. No, this pach was for the mincha. That's why the Kohen Gadol's hatima was on it. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanan Atam, we learned over there, yeah, this is Mishnah in Baba Kama, gets hayotze mitahat patish, a spark that comes out of the hammer. When the smith is banging on the hammer, and all of a sudden a spark might come out, the yatza v'hizik, and the spark went out and it damaged, it caused something to go on fire. So the Gemara says, hayav. So the smith is going to be hayav, because he has to be careful from his banging on the sparks that come out. Gamal, a camel, shita'un pishtan, that is laden with, pishtan would be flax, on its back. Vihu over birshut arabim. And the camel is crossing in the Rishut Rabim, v'nichnesa pishtano letoch hechanut. And since it was a wide load, his pishtan entered a store. And what happened? V'dalka b'nerosh hanvani. And it caught fire from the candle of the hanvani of the storekeeper. V'hidlik et habira. And subsequently it burnt down the building. Ba'al gamal hayav. The camel driver is hayav. Or the owner of the camel is chayav. Why? Because he should have been careful that his pishtan does not enter into the private domain, into the guy's store. So he's negligent. However, if the storekeeper put his candle outside in the public domain and thereby caused the pishtan to catch fire, so then the storekeeper is chayav because he has no right to put his candle in the Rishut Rabim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, b'ner Chanukah patur. But if he placed his ner Chanukah in the Rishut Rabim, he is exempt. Why? Because he's allowed to put it there. He has a legality. The Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Ravina tot zot omer, this must mean, ner Chanukah mitzvah lanicha betoch asara. From here we can deduce that the mitzvah of the ner Chanukah is to place it within 10 tefachim, which means above 3 tefachim of the ground, because we don't want it to be, let's say, too low. The Hakamim tell us really means between 3 and 10 tefachim of the ground. Where could we learn that from this story? So it says the isakadach lemala me'asara, because if you're allowed to place the menorah above 10 tefachim, lemale, let the camel driver tell the bal chanut, you should have placed the ner above the height of the camel and its rider. From the fact that he can't say that, must be the rabbis obligated to place the menorah low within 10 tefachim. Otherwise the camel driver can give him an excuse why doesn't have to pay. So why should I have to pay? Who asked you to put the menorah so low? You should have put it high so it won't come in contact with the camel. The fact that we see that he doesn't have that claim, and therefore he's guilty. Why? Because, and Abal Chanut, I should say, is patur, is why? Because must be, he has to place it within 10 tefachim. And therefore the camel guy doesn't have a claim to say, oh, you should have put it higher. There was no option for him to put it higher. Comes the Gemara and says, no proof. V'dilma imet recha letuva. No, maybe really you can put it above 10. But the rabbis would not obligate the storekeeper to place it above 10 tefachim. Why? Because he might come to refrain from doing the mitzvah, which means you have no proof. Maybe really you could put it higher than 10. But the reason why the camel driver doesn't have a claim and the Baal Chanut is patur, because maybe the rabbis didn't obligate him that he has to toil and go put it above 10, above the camel and his driver, because it's too much of a tirhaf to do such a thing, and then they're worried he might not light the menorah in the first place. But who said, well, maybe if he wanted to, he can light it above 10. It's just that they didn't burden him to do such a thing. So therefore you have no raya. So based on this, it comes out you really have no proof if you have to light it within 10 tefachim. Maybe that's why Harambam does not bring this lahalakha. Because since it was refuted, so therefore there is no real conclusive proof. They have to light the menorah in 10 tefachim of the ground. Even though Shulchan Aruch does write the chetahila, one should light the menorah in that space. The reason, the logic is because when you light it in that area, it's more noticeable and recognizable that you're lighting it for the mitzvah. Because usually people, when they light the menorah, they put it higher. So when you put it in that low, it's really 10 tefachim, within 10, it's like within 30 inches of the ground. It's more noticeable that you're doing it for a mitzvah as opposed to personal use. Comes again and says, Amar Rav Kana, Tarash Rav Natan Bar Minyomi. Rav Natan Bar Minyomi, Harad Rasham Shemed Rav Nam, Rabbi Tarhom, the name of Rabbi Tarhom. And we move to the Amud Rishon. Ner Shel Chanukah Shiniha Lema'ala Mechaf Amma, a Ner of Chanukah that was placed above 20 amot from the ground, Pesula, it is Pasul, Kisukah, just like the law of a Sukkah, Uchmavuy, and a Mavuy. Again, the Chanukah case is easy. Take a menorah, put it 20 amot high, let's say each amma is 2 feet for argument's sake, so 40 feet from the ground, like you have sometimes these these tall menorot that are off the ground, the flame is above 20 amot, pasul. Why? So the Hakamim tell us because generally people do not look in the street that high. Usually they look, a little above their eyesight, let's say, but they don't walk around with their head back looking so high, and the whole purpose of the menorah is pirsum hanis, to publicize the miracle. So since it's not so evident to see it right away, so therefore it's pasul. By sukkah, the Hakamim said that the sukkah, that the schach is 20 amot high, is pasul. Again, because you have to recognize that you're sitting in the sail of the shade of a sukkah. If it's too high, you don't recognize that you're sitting in a sukkah. For that matter, a mavui. A mavui is where you have the open alley, and you need to close off one of the sides to the reshut of the beam, so you put a cross beam. So the cross beam has to be within 20 amot of the ground. If you place the cross beam 20 amot higher, so then it is pasul. So the Tosafot over here comes along and says, why didn't the statement over here of Hanukkah say yima'et? Which means the solution is that if you put it over 20, just lower it. Like we have another statement when it refers to the mavui. In another Gemara, it says, if a person put the mavui above 20 amot, it says, yimaret, just lower it. So it should have said that option. Why did it say the last one, pesula? Pesula means it's conclusively pasul. Well, there's a way to fix it. It should just say, yimaret, just like it says in another place by mavui. So Tosafot says, the Braita did not want to get involved, or the statement, I should say, did not want to get involved with yimaret, because it could not just have said yimaret.
By Mavun, you could say you might, because you just have to lower the crossbeam. But by Ner Hanukkah, it's not so simple. Because once you lit the menorah above 20, you really have to extinguish it first. Relight. Now you have to lower it and relight it. So you can't say yima'it. You have to say yichabena v'yima'atena v'yachzor v'yadlikena. So it becomes a whole story. So for brevity, the statement was just pisula. I didn't want to get involved in using the word yima'it because it's not enough to yima'it. It would give a false understanding that you can just take the menorah and lower it. And that's not so. Since you lit it in a place that's pasul, lowering it's not going to help. You really have to extinguish it and relight it. Again, comes the Gemara and says, "V'amar Rav Kana darash Rav Natan bar Minyomi." Another statement from Rav Natan bar Minyomi, "Mishved Rabbi Rav Tanhum." In the name of Rav Tanhum, "My dichtiv." What does this mean in the pasuk by Yosef? "V'habor rek en bo mayim." It says that the pit that the brothers threw Yosef into was empty; there was no water in it. "Mashmash neimar v'habor rek." From the fact that it says the bor was rek, meaning empty. "Eni yodeh she'en bo mayim." Empty means there was nothing in it, including water. Ela mat Talmud lomar en bo mayim. So why does it have to repeat en bo mayim? So the Gemara says mayim en bo. It's coming to say yes, there was no water in it. Avam nechashim v'akrabim. Yes, but there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. And it seems the brothers, when they threw them in the pit, they did not see those snakes and scorpions. So the Mefarshim ask, what's the connection between the two statements? The simple connection is it's made by the same rabbi. Right. And any time a rabbi has a limited amount of statements in Shas, so they put all his statements together in order to, you know, give you exactly what he taught. Another explanation might be, is that maybe they're trying to allude that the reason why the brothers did not see the snakes and scorpions because the pit was 20 amot deep. And we're giving a similar logic, just like we said in Ner Hanukkah, that you place 20 amot high, it's no good because there's no pesumen, it's because you don't look up. So same thing, the walls of the pit were 20 amot down. So when they looked down, they didn't follow the pit all the way down, therefore they weren't able to see the snakes and scorpions. So the Hadush is not only going up, but it's also going down. That could be another example. The Mefarshim also explained that in most years, Hanukkah does fall out in the parashiyot of Vayeshev and Miketz. And this pasuk is parashat Vayeshev, so therefore there is a connection between the two. Amar Rava, Rava taught, Ner Hanukkah mitzvah laniha betefach simucha lapetach. The mitzvah of Hanukkah, it's a mitzvah to place it within a tefach of the door, which means of the doorway, in front of the person's door. Now again, Rashi and Tosafot have an argument. I'd like to just review the argument with you. It's a very important machloket. Rashi learns that you always place the menorah by the door, even if it is in front of a chatzer. And they, or, of course, if it's in front of the Rishut Rabim, then you have no option. Of course, you have to just put it in front of your door because it's right in front of the Rishut Rabim. Tosfot argues. Tosfot says the only time you place it by your door is when it's just open straight to the Rishut Rabim. But if there's a chatzer in front of your house, then he says you put the menorah in the front of the door of the chatzer and not the house. So again, we're learning Rashi over here, where you're putting it in all cases, whether there's a chatzer, whether there's a Rishut Rabim, like Rashi clearly writes in his commentary here, you're putting it by the door. So the Gemara says, and within a tefah of the door. The Mefarshim say the reason why you have to put it within a tefah of the door is that also people will recognize that you put it there for the mitzvah of the menorah, it's not just there for lighting purposes. Comes the Gemara and says, and it's also, she says, that it'll be nikar, I'm sorry, that she says it'll be nikar that the Baal HaBayit placed it there. If it's far away from the door, more than a tefach, it's not noticeable who put it there, but when it's close to the guy's doorpost, so it's obvious that the Baal HaBayit placed it there. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'echa manachle, where does he place it? So one rabbi says you place it on the right, which means on the side of the mezuzah. Rav Shmuel Medifti amar misemol. But Rav Shmuel Medifti says no, you place the menorah on the left. Ve'elcheta misemol. And Acha says you place it on the left side of the doorpost. Why? Kedeshete ner Hanukkah misemol. So you have the ner Hanukkah on the left. So therefore you're surrounded by the mitzvot. The interesting halakha brings down that's only talking about where you have a mezuzah. But let's say you have a door that there's no mezuzah for some reason, so therefore then you place the menorah on the right side. The only reason why I wanted to put you on the left side is because they wanted you to be surrounded by mitzvot. Otherwise, the right side usually has precedence. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Aseh. Asur leharzot ma'ot keneged ner Hanukkah. It is forbidden to count money by the light of the Hanukkah. Now, this is Rav Aseh teaching us. The question of all the Rishonim over here is, what do you mean? We learned yesterday, Rav told us that asur leishtamesh leora, that you cannot benefit from the light of the candles at all. So what is Rav Aseh coming to teach me? I can't count money? According to what we learned yesterday with Rav, asur leishtamesh leora, is he arguing? Is he saying something different? Is he coming to include? So there's different approaches by the Rishonim. The Rosh over here has an interpretation that says the following. Really, Rav Aseh is agreeing with Rav, and Rav is agreeing with Rav Aseh, just Rav Aseh is taking it a step further. And they're saying like this. When did Rav say Asur Leishtamesh Leora? That's only talking about where you're doing a Tashmish Kavua, where you're doing something that is a permanent usage. And for example, let's say if a person is just walking by the menorah and he happens to see some of its light, that's not considered mishtamesh menorah. Somebody is actually sitting down and doing work by the menorah, using it in a permanent fashion. But if it's just a temporary thing where it's not a set usage, it's okay, according to Rav. So the Hadush of Rav Aseh is, yes, that's true. However, Tashmish Arai, that's a bizayon, is asur. And counting money by the light of it, even though it's a temporary item, how long does it take to count the money? It's a fast thing. But since you have to put the money right next to the light of the menorah to see them and to count them, that's why it says lashon keneged. Keneged the menorah, meaning you're mamash close to the menorah, it's a bizayon for the menorah. So therefore, even a tashmish arai can be asur, he's adding, if it is a bizayon, like the counting of the money. Comes the Gemara and says, Ki amri, so that's the Aseh statement. And it says, Ki amrita kamed Shmuel, when this statement was said over to Shmuel, Amar li, he told me, V'chi ner kedusha yeshba. Does the ner have kedusha? Why is it forbidden to count money by the light of the candle? Is it holy? What's the purpose? I understand you can't use the wick. I understand you maybe can't use the oil. But the light, what is kiddushah now in the light itself? So he says, hold it. But kifla Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef comes along and defends Rav Aseh and challenges Shmuel. V'chi dam kiddushah yeshbo? Does blood have kiddushah to it? What do you mean blood? The Tanya, because we have a braita, v'shafach v'chisa. When you slaughter, let's say, a chicken, you have to spill the blood first by the shechita, and then v'chisa, and then you have to cover the blood. So the Gemara says, "Bema sheshafach yechaseh." With the same body part that you spilled the blood, you cover the blood. Meaning, how did you slaughter? With your hands. So therefore, you have to make the mitzvah kisui hadam also with your hands. Shelo yechasenu beregel. And the hadush is that you should not cover the blood with your feet, which you shouldn't kick the dirt on the blood. Why not? Shelo yehu mitzvot bizuyot galav. So the mitzvot are not belittled in your eyes. That's a bizayon for the mitzvah to do it with your feet, where you're kicking the dirt. So we learn from the case of dam, that just like you slaughter it with your hand, you're supposed to place the blood with your hand. Hacha nameh, here also by menorah, shelo yehu mitzvot bizuyot galav. The reason is, so the mitzvot are not belittled in your eyes, they're not bazui. Meaning, Rav Yosef is saying it's nothing to do with kiddusha. The ner doesn't have kiddusha, just like the blood doesn't have kiddusha. But the reason why you can't kick the blood kick the dirt on the blood to fulfill the mitzvah, because it's a degrading way to do the mitzvah. Same thing by ner Hanukkah, not because of the kiddusha, but so the mitzvah is not done in a bazui way. You go start counting money by the light of the menorah. That's bizayon for the mitzvah. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'u mine Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Here's the question to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Ma'u l'estapek minoy sukkah kol shiva'ah. is it permissible to benefit from the decorations of the Sukkah during the 7 days of Sukkot? Again, in the olden days, as we'll see, they used to decorate their Sukkah with foods. So the question was, in the middle of Sukkot, you want to eat from the Noi Sukkah. Can you benefit and eat from the Noi Sukkah during the holiday? Amar Leh. So he answered back. I mean, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi answered back. Hare Amru. He says, what do you mean? They said, Asur leharzot ma'ot keneged Hanukkah. Keneged Ner Hanukkah. Didn't we learn that they said that it's forbidden to count money by the light of Ner Hanukkah? So he wanted to make a connection. Yeah, just like you shouldn't count money by the Ner Hanukkah, it's also not proper to eat from the Noi of Sukkah. It's not proper to eat from the decorations. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Mared Abraham, God of Abraham, Master of Abraham. And he's saying this in a rhetorical way. That's your proof? Tale Tanya b'delo Tanya. You're bringing something that's not stated in a Braita to prove something that is stated in a Braita? Meaning, Sukkah Tanya, Hanukkah lo Tanya. The law of Sukkah means that you're not allowed to benefit from the decorations, as we're going to see immediately, is a Braita. The law of Hanukkah was not a Braita, it was just a statement of Amoraim. So you're bringing me a proof to a Braita from a statement, which means on the contrary, the Braita is strong. Your source for the Braita is going to be a Din of Hanukkah that's not written in a Braita. Tali, Tanya, Bidelot, Tanya. Now where do we see that Sukkah is written in a Braita? The Tanya. We have a Braita. Sikkecha kelcheta. Let's say you have a Sukkah and you put Schach on the Sukkah, like the Halakha. The Etera, and you crowned it, meaning you placed on the Schach or under the Schach, the Keramim. Keramim are colored curtains that you placed as a decoration. Ubesadinim amsuyarim. Sadinim amsuyarim also would be, let's say, embroidered cloths. Vetalaba, and you hung from it what? Egozim, nuts. Afarsekin would be peaches. Shekedim is almonds. Rimmonim would be pomegranates. Parchid anavim, clusters of grapes. Atarot shel shibolim, and wreaths of barley. Yenot, bottles of wine. Shemanim, oil. Veslatot, and flour. Asul is tapek mehen. You're not allowed to benefit from them. Ad motzei yom tov aharon shel hag. Until the end of the holiday. The mitna alehem. However, if you made a condition before you hung them up, which means before you hung them up, if you said, any boden mehem, which means I am not separating myself from them, meaning when you put them up, if you made a condition, I am going to use them, so therefore they do not become asur. However, without making that condition, it is forbidden to benefit from the noi of the sukkah. Now that's a clear braita. So therefore the Gemara said, Rabbi Yosef challenged Rabbi Yoshua. We asked, what's the source of this braita that we know you cannot benefit from the decorations, noi sukkah? So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, the source is Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we have a braita by sukkah. You're bringing me a statement that was not written in the braita to prove something in the braita? So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef can answer this question by saying, Avuhon dechulehu dam. Which literally means the father of all is blood. What does he mean? The source of all these laws, that you're not allowed to do the mitzvot in a bizayon way, the father of all these laws is what? The law of the blood. What's the law of the blood? Which we learned in the Braita. What did it say in the Braita by the blood? V'shafak v'chisa. B'ma sheshafak yechaseh. That taught us that what? That the kisui adam must be with your hands. Why not with your feet? Shelo yeh mitzvot bezuyot alav. That's the source of everything. From dam we know that you can't count money by the light of the menorah. And that's also the source what? By sukkah that you cannot benefit from the noi. Because it's also bizayon. Noi sukkah is a mitzvah. Well, now in the middle of Sukkot you're going to come to eat the decorations? It's a mitzvah. So therefore, what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi meant was not the source is Hanukkah. He meant the braita that discusses blood. That's the source of the law. Abuhon de kuleudam. So therefore, he wasn't proving sukkah from a non-braita. He was proving sukkah from a braita. Which braita? The braita of dam. So comes the Tosafot and asks the question. So it seems over here that the source of what? Of the noy sukkah that it's forbidden to benefit from it is what? Abu dikulu dam. It's from the kisuya dam kesh shelo yeh bezuya. So it shouldn't be a, you shouldn't degrade the mitzvah. But we learned in Masechet Betzah that it's mashma, or actually in Perikira, which is later on, it's mashma that the law is because of mukseh. Because once already it went into the holiday, and you took it off your mind, and you already designated it for decorations, it's off your mind to use it. So it sounds like it's a mukseh issue. It's not because of bizayon issue. What do you need two reasons for? Tosfos is very good. Because if you only learned the mukseh issue, that would only forbid it on Shabbat and Yom Tov. But now that you learned the bizayon issue, would be forbidden on Chol HaMoed as well. Or you could say the other way as well. Let's say some of the decorations fell from the sukkah. If you're going to say bizayon, it's not a bizayon anymore. Now they fell from the sukkah, so they're not decorations anymore. But once you say mukseh, I don't care if they fell from the sukkah. Still they're going to hear mukseh, because since they were out of your mind before going into the holiday, so therefore they're off limits either. So you really need two reasons why the noy sukkah is asur. Mukseh and bizayon. And what's the source of bizayon? Avon de kullehu, the father of all. Damn, that's the source of all these laws. Kam de Gemaran continues. Itmar, we have a Amoraic statement. Rav Amar, Rav taught, en madlikin min ner le ner. On the ner Hanukkah, you're not allowed to light from one ner to another ner. We'll see what this means shortly. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, madlikin. No, you could light the menorah one ner to another. Next machloket, Rav Amar, en matirim sisit mebeged lebeged. Rav says, you're not allowed to take the sisit off an old garment and place it on a new garment. Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel says, matirim, you can't untie it from one garment. Matirim lebeged lebeged. You can't untie it from one garment to another. Third halakha, Rav Amar, en halakha k'Rabbi Shimon begedera. Rav said that the Lord does not follow Rabbi Shimon regarding dragging a chair on ground on Shabbat. Shmuel Amar, alakha k'Rabbi Shimon begedera. And Shmuel says, no, alakha k'Rabbi Shimon, you can't drag a chair over the ground on Shabbat, even though you're going to make a furrow. Since you are not mitkaven, since your intent is not to make the furrow. So we have this, let's review it. We have three laws. Rav is mahmir in all these laws, and Shmuel is mekel. The three laws are, by menorah, Shmuel says, madlikin min ner le ner. You can light from one ner to another ner. When it comes to sisit, he says, matirin lebeged lebeged. You can take sisit off of an old garment and put it on a new garment. And regarding girera, Shmuel says, we're lenient like the Bishimon, that you can drag the chair on the ground on Shabbat. Now normally we have a rule that says, halakha kerav beisure. When it comes to things like this, non-monetary cases, just laws of Asur and Mutar, usually the law is you follow Rav. Gemara is going to say over here that Rava bar Nachman made an exception, that all over he ruled like Rav, except in these three cases he ruled like Shmuel. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, kol mili demor, all the words of my master, Ava Avid Kerav. He followed Rav, Levar Mahani Tlat. Except for these three cases that we just enumerated, the Avid that he followed Kishmuel, that he followed like Shmuel. Now again, who's his master? Rava Bar Nachmani. So Abaye was saying, Rava Bar Nachmani as a general rule followed Rav and everything. But it came to these three cases, he was lenient like Shmuel. Madliki miner lener, ומתירים מבגד לבגד, והלכה כרבי שמעון בגררה. דתניא, רבי שמעון אומר, רבי שמעון taught the laws of Shabbat. גורר אדם מיטה, כיסא וספסל, a person is allowed to drag a bed, a chair, and a bench. What do these three things have in common? They're heavy items. You can drag them on the ground. ובלבד שלא יתכוון לעשות חריס. So long as your intent is not to make a furrow. even though you're going to make a furrow. However, since you're not mitkaven, since it's not your intent, the Bishamon is lenient. So he says, in that regard, we hold like the Bishamon. Yativa umina banan kamedra vada barahava. There was a student, or a rabbi actually, that sat in front of Ravada barahava. Yativa kamar, and he sat and he said, Talmud de Rav, the reason that Rav was Mahmir, that said, you cannot light from one Nir of the Hanukkah to another. Now we're going to the law of Hanukkah. What was the first case? Rav taught, En madlikin min Nir le Nir. You cannot light from one Nir of the Hanukkah to another. At this point we're understanding, it's talking about using a kisam. What is a kisam? A piece of wood. Meaning, one of the lights of the menorah are lit. So you want to take a piece of wood, light that piece of wood from the menorah, in order to light another candle of the menorah. So again, you're using a kisam, which is a wood chip, in order to take the light of the menorah, which is a mitzvah, and then to light the other light, which is on the third night. So you take the wood chip, you light it from the first one, and you subsequently light the other two. Rav is telling you asur. Shemuel is telling you mutar. So comes the Gemara and says that rabbi sat in front of Rav Adah bar Ahava and said, Ta'ama de Rav, the reason of Rav is Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. The reason is because of Bizui. It's degrading to the Mitzvah to take a Kisam, which is Chol. It's not a Kadosh thing, it's a regular piece of wood. I have to go stick it to the Mitzvah to use the Kisam to light from the Mitzvah. It's a Bizui. Amar Lehu. So when he heard him give that reason, he said, Lo Tatzitule. He told everybody, don't listen to this rabbi. That's not the reason. The reason of Rav is because you're weakening the mitzvah. What does it mean you're weakening the mitzvah? When you light from another ner, it's as if you're taking away from the mitzvah. You're weakening the mitzvah. It looks like you're drawing from the oil of it, and you're taking it because there's a flame there. What happens when you light from it? It drops a little, goes down a little in order for it to light the following ner. So it looks like you're weakening the mitzvah. So we have two reasons given over here. Either bizui mitzvah or achushem mitzvah. The rabbi that came and said, oh, the reason of Rabbi is machmir is because bizui. The rabbi told him, no, don't listen to him. Rabbi said, no, that's not the reason. The reason is achushem. So the Gemara says, my binai, what's the difference? No, ika binayu dekam madlik mishraga leshraga. If you would light from one candle to another without using a kisam. Let's say you have the cups. You would lift one of the cups of the menorah and use it to light the cup next to it. You're moving from one ner to another. Well, let's see. Manda ma bishum bizui mitzvah. If you hold the reason is bizui mitzvah, mesharga lesharga madlik. No problem. You can light from one candle because it's a mitzvah to a mitzvah. I'm not using a kisam. Manda ma bishum achushe mitzvah. If you hold the reason is achushe mitzvah, that you're weakening the mitzvah, mesharga lesharga name asur. It should still be asur. Why? Because bottom line, you're weakening the mitzvah when you're lighting it to another ner. So that would be the nafkamina between bizui or achushe. So comes the Gemara and says, Mativ Rav Avya. Rav Avya had a question. The government builder takes out the word Selah Shel. So we go to the Amud Bet. Maaser Sheni. Let's say you have coins of Maaser Sheni. What is coins of Maaser Sheni? We know Maaser Sheni is food that is sanctified. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim. If it's too much for you to bring it to Yerushalayim, you're able to take the food and transfer the Kedushah to a coin. That's called Hilul Maaser Sheni. So the case is, Maaser Sheni, you have coins of Maaser Sheni and Shokrim Kenegdo. You're not allowed to use them as weights in order to measure or to weigh Dinre Zahav. You have gold coins. Your gold coins are holin. They're not Kodesh. But you want to measure them. You want to weigh them. So how would you weigh them? You used to have the scales, the two-sided scales. You put the Maaser Sheni coins on one side of the scale, and you want to put the gold coins on the other side of the scale, and you want to see if they weigh the same amount. You should not use your Maaser coins as weights. And the Gemara says, Va'afidu lehalel alav Maaser Sheni acher. Even if the sole purpose of the reason why you're weighing these gold coins is in order that you want to use them for another Hilul Maaser. So you're actually weighing it to use them for a mitzvah, and still they do not want you to use the coins, the ma'aser shini coins, as weights. That's the statement. Now the Gemara is going to analyze. And the Gemara says, "I amar bishlama." If you're going to say, "Ki peligi Rabu Shmuel min ner lener," that the machloket of Rabin Shmuel by Hanukkah is ner lener, which means where you're lighting it from candle to candle, that's where they argue, meaning Rav will tell you asur, and Shmuel will tell you it's okay. Aval bekinsa, but using a wood chip, asar Shmuel, which means when it comes to using a wood chip, even Shmuel will tell you asur. Then it's not a question. Meaning then the statement of Hanukkah fits in with the statement of Maaser. Because a kinsa, reason why Shmuel will tell you it's not proper, because it's considered a bizayon. And that would be the same, even though you're using the kinsa to light the menorah, still, it's not Kodesh, you shouldn't use it to light the menorah. That would fit in with the case of Maaser. Even though you're weighing the gold coins in order to use them for a mitzvah, still, since bottom line you're using the maaser coins to do it, you're using a mitzvah, and there's something whole in there, so the gold coins would be considered like the kisam. And therefore, just like it says it's asur to use the holin coins with the maaser coins, so it would be asur to use a kisam. That makes sense. With asur to be used the wood chip. However, but if you say that Shmuel is even lenient, and when he said madikin mener lener, he meant you can even use a wood chip, you can even use a piece of wood to light the menorah, then it is a question, which means then why would Shmuel say you could use a wood by menorah, but you're not allowed to use the ma'aser shini coins to weigh the coins of Hulin? Which is, again, that's also you're doing it for a mitzvah. Just like you could use a wood chip. Is the wood chip Kodesh? No. Could I light the menorah with it according to Shmuel? According to one option? Yes, but the kimin and then. So just like I could do that, why is maaser any different? Why shouldn't I be able to use the maaser sheni coins as weights in order to measure the holin coins in order to use them for a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, I have your question. Amar Rava. No, over there, the reason why by Maaser we don't want to use it is because we're worried maybe after you weigh them, you're going to notice that it doesn't have the right weight. And what's going to happen if it doesn't have if those gold coins don't have the proper weight? You're going to remain them and keep them in the chulin state. And therefore you're never going to come to use it for a mitzvah, and it comes out retroactive. What did you do? You used ma'aser sheni coins and a kodesh to weigh coins that you never did for a mitzvah. So therefore, they give us no question on Shmuel. Shmuel can allow you to use a kisam by the menorah, but still forbid you to use the ma'aser sheni coins as a weight. Because by the Hanukkah, for sure, you're using the kisam to light the menorah, using it for a mitzvah. It's okay. However, by the case of the weights, it's quite possible that for some reason you'll notice after you're weighing it that the gold coins are missing. And they're not full coins. Or maybe they're too heavy. And therefore, what are you going to say? These coins are not good for my chilul ma'aser. And that was what ends up happening. You end up using ma'aser coins and just as plain weights. That's why it's forbidden. So at this point, you have to keep in mind. In Shmuel, we have two options how far he was lenient. Because he said, Malikin lener lener. It could either mean he was lenient, meaning just candle to candle, or even through the use of a kisam, even through the use of a wujib. That's the two sides of the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, Mativ Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat now has a question. It says by the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, Mechutz laparochet ha'edut, ya'aroch. From outside of the parochet ha'edut in the Beit HaMikdash, Ya'arok, the Kohen, must set up the menorah and light it. V'chi le'orah utzarich. So the Gemara says, does God need the light of the menorah? What's the purpose to light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash? V'alo kol 40 shana shalku b'nei Yosef b'midbar, lo alku ela le'oro. The 40 years that the Jewish people went into the midbar where it was dark, who provided the light for them? God.
which means God is the light. What is that? The cloud of glory. Whatever they're trying to say, God doesn't need light. It's the purpose of light of the menorah, the Beit HaMikdash, because it's God's house. God could provide His own light. So what's the purpose of the menorah? Didn't he provide the light for us in the Midbar for 40 years? The purpose of the menorah is a testimony to the people of the world. Shechinah shura b'Yisrael. It's a testimony that Shechinah is resting in Klal Yisrael. And that's what it means in the Pasuk when it says, Mechutz leparochet ha'edut. Meaning the purpose of the menorah is not for light. The purpose is to show that God is with the Jewish people. How does the menorah show that? So the Gemara asks, my edut. What is this testimony? Amar Rav Zu Ner Ma'arabi. This is talking about to a specific ner called the Ner Ma'arabi. Shenoten Ba'Shemen Kemidat Havruteha. Because you placed the Ner Ma'arabi the same amount of oil that all the other lamps got in the menorah. And from it you started to light, and with it you finished. And I'll explain to you what this means over here. Let's pause for a second and review the laws of the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. There is a mahloket, what position the menorah was placed. Either the menorah was placed in a north-south position, or the menorah was placed in a east-west position. Based on the that mahloket of how the menorah was placed, there's a mahloket that results what was considered ner ma'aravi. Now, if you say the menorah was placed in an east-west position, let's imagine in the direction of the synagogue, meaning the hechal being east and the back wall being west, and the menorah is facing this way. So the ner, the cup, that's to the most east, would be the most right, let's say, standing in front of it, let's say, the rightmost cup would be, let's say, the east cup. Right? That's the cup that's closest to the east. The second cup would be considered Ner Ma'arabi, according to that Shita. Because it's the first cup that's closest now towards the west. Okay, so the second cup would be Ner Ma'arabi. If you say that the menorah was placed north-south, so then the middle cup is considered Ner Ma'arabi. Why is the middle cup? Because the middle cup, it had a lip. All the cups had like a little mouth that protruded from it. And all the three to the right and the three to the left, their lip were facing inward. Which means the ones on the north side were facing south. And the one on the south side were facing north. That little lip that comes out of the cup was facing to the middle. And the center cup, its lip was facing west. So therefore that would be considered Ner Ma'arabi. Bottom line, whatever one you want to say was the Ner Ma'arabi, it's an important mahloket to remember. One thing is for certain. The Gemara says a miracle happened during the times of the Beit HaMikdash that it lasted longer than all the Nerot, even though it had the same amount of oil. I mean, they used to light them in around the afternoon. By the time they got the next morning, most of the Nerot were already extinguished. Certainly by the time they got to the next afternoon, when they were about to relight the menorah, all the Nerot were extinguished. There wasn't enough oil. But the miracle was the Ner Ma'arabi would stay lit from afternoon to the following afternoon. So much so, the Gemara says, Uba haya madlik. You would use the Ner Ma'arabi to light the menorah for the next day. Rashi tells us how they did that. Rashi tells us what they would do is in the morning they would clean out the other lamps, which means you had seven lamps, seven cups, let's say. So you have to do what's called hatavata nerot. So in the morning the Kohen would come, he would clean out the oil, he would clean out the wicks of all the other nerot, he would leave the ner ma'aravi because it was still lit. And then he would re-put oil in the other ones, and he would put a new wick in the other ones, then he would come in the afternoon, and now he would finish making hatava on the Ner Ma'aravi. But what do you mean? It's still lit. So it says he would take out the wick and hold it in his hand or put it in a plate. He would make hatava on the Ner Ma'aravi, clean it out, add new oil, add a new wick for the Ner Ma'aravi. Then from the yesterday's Ner Ma'aravi, he would light today's Ner Ma'aravi. And then from the Ner Ma'aravi, they would light the rest of the candles of the lights of the menorah. So the way that she learns the statement over here is, Uba haya madlik,
which means, let's read the lashon inside, Umimena haya madlik, and from it, meaning from the ner ma'aravi, they used to light the menorah, as I just explained to you, Uba haya misayim, and they would conclude the hataba process with it. Again, what was the last ner that was cleaned? The ner ma'aravi. Because they would clean the other six. This one was still lit. In the afternoon, before they would relight the menorah, they would clean out the seventh ner. So that means Uba haya misayim. What did they finish? They finished the hataba process. And what does it mean when it says Umimena haya madlik? They would light the menorah from the ner ma'aravi. How? Like I told you. They would take out yesterday's wick, hold it, after they clean out the ner ma'aravi, put a new wick, put new oil. Then they would light it from yesterday's. And then, from the new ner ma'aravi of today, they would light the other nerot. Now the Gemara, once we know the process, now the Gemara can ask the question. And the Gemara says, by the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, kevan de kibi'i nerot, the nerot in the Beit HaMikdash were stationary. They weren't cups that you could remove and, you know, light one ner to another ner. You couldn't take out the cup of the ner ma'aravi. It was a solid piece. So the Gemara says, lo sagya de lo mishkal v'adluke. You weren't able to take out the cup to go light. So how did you light the menorah from the ner ma'aravi? So the only option is what? You must have taken a kisam. You must have taken a wood chip, light the wood chip from the ner ma'aravi, and then subsequently light the rest of the menorah. So the Gemara says, Kasha, now we have a question on the menorah. Ben laman damar mishum bizui mitzvah. No matter what reason you give, if you give the reason of Rav, that the reason why it's Asur to light from Ner to Ner, if the reason is Bizui, because it's degrading it, what do you mean? But they use the Kisam in the Beit HaMikdash, it's the only way to be able to do it. And if you hold the reason of Rav is Achushe, because you're weakening the Mitzvah, it's also a problem. Because how do they use the Kisam in the Beit HaMikdash? Once you're taking the Kisam to the Ner Ma'aravi, what are you doing? You're causing the Ner Ma'aravi to become weakened for a second. So the menorah poses a question on all opinions. Whether you hold Bizui Mitzvah is the reason of Rav, or whether you hold Achoshe is the reason, bottom line, the Beit HaMikdash poses a question. So the Gemara says, Targemara Papat, whatever Pag is an answer, Biftilot Arukot. No, you're right, you didn't have to move the, you couldn't move the Ner Ma'aravi, but you had long wicks. So what does that mean, you had long wicks? The wick of the Ner Ma'aravi was very long. So you were able to tilt the wick over and light the Ner that was next to it. You didn't need a Kisam. So therefore there was no Bizui Mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says, Sof Sof Leman Damar Meshum Achoshe Mitzvah Kasha. You're right. According to Bizui Mitzvah, you answer me. You didn't need a kisam in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because you had petilot arukot. That's not Papa's answer. But if you hold achoshe mitzvah, if you say the reason why you can't light from there to there, because you're weakening it, what's the difference? Even petilat to petilat should be asur. The Gemara says, kasha. You're right, kasha. So it seems at this point in the Gemara, the reason of achoshe mitzvah is rejected. Because bottom line, we see in the Beit HaMikdash, they did light from Ner Ner, and they did light from Petila to Petila. Aiba Achoshe Mitzvah. No, we're not interested in Achoshe Mitzvah. So what's the reason must be? Reason of the Rab must be Bizui. What does Bizui mean? We don't want you to be Bezeh. What would Bizui mean? Don't use a Kisam. However, that's Rab's opinion. Rab says, En Madlikin Min Ner Ner, which means, don't Bezeh, don't make a Bizui. How would you make a Bizui? Using a Kisam. But Shmuel argued on Rav. What did Shmuel say? Madlikin miner lener. That means he is allowing what Rav was oser. Rav was oser kisam. Shmuel is telling you, you can use a kisam. Gemara says, may have ala. Usually the way a may have ala works is, after the Gemara goes back and forth with different opinions, the Gemara usually wants to give a conclusion. May have ala usually is introducing what is the bottom line halakha. Now what's the question over here? So in Tosafot, according to the Riva, he explains the question like this. Already we said that normally halakha follows Rav. However, in this case, we said it's an exceptional case that we follow Shmuel. That we learned on the Amud Rishon, where the Gemara said, on the Amud Rishon, Amar Abaye, Kol mili demor avid kerav levar mehanetlat, David kishmuel. Abaye said that his rabbi, Rav Bar Nachmani, who normally followed Rav in all cases, but in the cases that we mentioned above, he followed Shmuel. So we know that Halakha is like Shmuel. And what did Shmuel say? Madlikin miner lener. So now the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? To what extent? Well, what are our two options? Our two options are, it could mean from wick to wick, which means you take one of the, let's say in the olden days, just to picture it in your mind, they didn't have a menorah, let's say. Let's say they would put the glass, they have glasses. They would put a oil in a glass with a wick, and let's say on the third night you would have three glasses. So if you say madlikim miner lener means you could pick one of the glasses up of the menorah, of the lighting, and light the other ones, or do you go even further and say madlikim miner lener through the use of a kisam, which we take a wood chip, light it from the ner of the Hanukkah, and then subsequently light the other ones. So the Gemara wants to know again, my havi ala, what is the bottom line, how to learn Shmuel? So the Gemara says, what will it be based on? And we go inside and read. Amar Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua hazina. Let us see. I adlaka osa mitzvah. If you say adlaka osa mitzvah, madlikin mener lener. Vi hanaha osa mitzvah, en madlikin mener lener. Now let's review terminology. There is a great machloket in Hanukkah. What is the mitzvah of lighting near Hanukkah? Is it the hadlakah itself, meaning the putting the flame to the wick? That's the mitzvah, the lighting? Or is the placement of the menorah down the mitzvah? That would be called hanaha. Let's, to understand the machloket, let's give a practical case to see the difference. Tosfot brings this case on the bottom. Let's say the menorah was lit by a heresh shoteh v'katan. Take the simple case, a katan, a minor. His mitzvot do not count because he's not of age. Let's say he lit the menorah. If you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, did nothing, not yotzeh. However, if you say hanaha osa mitzvah, if the katan lit it, and then the gadol took the menorah and he placed it down, the mitzvah will be counted, because bottom line, the gadol did the hanaha. That's a practical nafkamina if you hold hadlaka, or hanaha if it was lit by a katan. If you say hadlaka osa mitzvah lo yatsa, if you say hanaha osa mitzvah and the gadol placed it down, yatsa. But there's another thing we must keep in mind. The one that argued on Shmuel was Rav. Rav said en madlikin miner lener. So the Gemara says, if you're going to hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, that means every lighting is considered a mitzvah. Every time you put the flame to the wick, that's a mitzvah in the lighting. So Rav will allow you to light from wick to wick. Because if you're lighting from wick to wick, you're doing a mitzvah to a mitzvah. There's no bizayon over here. You're not degrading anything. It's going from mitzvah to mitzvah. However, Rav will say to take a wood chip, a kisam, and to light from the menorah from one to the other would be asur, because you're lighting from a mitzvah to a wood chip. That would be a bizayon. Meaning, when Rav made his statement en madlikin miner lener, that meant through the use of a kisam, and therefore when Shmuel said madlikin miner lener, kisam would be permissible. So therefore, if you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, Shmuel would matir a kisam. Now let's go to the other side. If you hold hanaha osa mitzvah, then when Rav said en madlikin miner lener would mean even wick to wick. Why? Let's understand it. Because let's say you have already one ner on the table already. It's munach. So that ner already, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Now you want to take another one of those glasses that I talked about with the wick in it, and you want to light from the one that's on the table. Since the one on the table already is a mitzvah, because it's munach. And the one you're lighting is not a mitzvah until you put it down. So therefore, that would be considered Bizayon, that would be considered like a tisam, because you're taking a non-mitzvah item, lighting it from a mitzvah. So when Rav said en madlikim min ner lener, he meant en madlikim min ner lener, which is you would not be allowed to even light from one to the other. And then what would Shmuel mean to say? No, you're allowed to light from one ner to the other. Shmuel will hold, in that case it's not considered a bizayon. Even though what you're lighting is not a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah yet. But eventually it will be a mitzvah once you place it down. So it's not such a bizayon. But Shmuel will say kisam will be asur. Because kisam is never a mitzvah. Kisam is totally whole. It never will turn into the mitzvah. Even when you place it down, it's still a kisam. So therefore, based on how you learn hadlaka or hanacha, that's going to make the difference on how you learn Shmuel. Did he matir kisam or not? If you hold hadlaka or sam mitzvah, Shmuel would be matir kisam. If you hold hanacha or sam mitzvah, Shmuel would be osir kisam. Again, how did we get to that conclusion? The Gemara is working through Rav's opinion. Once you understand Rav's opinion, automatically you'll know what Shmuel was saying. Because whatever Rav was osir, Shmuel was matir. So I'm going to say it one more time for the sake of clarity. Inside in the Gemara says, "Maya bi'ala amar Ravuna bered Rav Yoshua Azina." We will see. If you hold that the mitzvah is in the actual lighting, that means the lighting itself is the mitzvah. Then Rav will allow you to light from one wick to another wick because of the mitzvah to mitzvah, but he would osir kisam. He would osir kisam, Shmuel would be matir kisam. But if you say the mitzvah is in the placing it down, because you're lighting from a non-mitzvah to a mitzvah. And therefore Rav would be osir also kisam. If Rav was osir kisam, then that means what? That means according to Rav, Rav would say, even from wick to wick would be asur. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah. That means wick to wick is asur for Rav, but wick to wick would be mutar for Shmuel. But kisam would be asur. Now, what's the machine, wick to wick or kisam? Shmuel will tell you, wick to wick, you're right, even at the time you hold on a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah yet, but it's going to turn into a mitzvah, so therefore it's not a bizui. Masha'en ken a kisam, Shmuel will say, is asur, because it never turns into a mitzvah. So that's the nafkamina, if you hold hadlaka or hanacha.